us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, as your people sit down, and as I stand to bring your word, I pray that you take over and bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Please sit. Wow, it's afternoon, isn't it? Good afternoon, everybody. Praise the name of the Lord. You know how I love the hands up? My children actually make joke of that. I want to say that I'm very happy today to have been given this opportunity to come and share with you. Sometimes I go a bit of time before I come because I'm on the other side or elsewhere. But today the Lord has made it possible for me and my sweetheart to be here today to share with you. My wife is just somewhere there. Please stand up. It's always good for you to stand up, wave, so that people can know where you are. Well, she's hidden somewhere. Yeah, that is my dear wife, my helper from heaven. And I give glory and thanks to God for her, seriously, because she's my helper from God. Today, I want to remind you that our theme for the year emphasizes growth in our faith. Growth, growing. That is what we have been emphasizing. Today, brothers and sisters, I would like to preach on the topic growing in knowledge and understanding of the supremacy of Jesus Christ. In this sermon, I will draw mainly from what we have read just a few minutes ago. That is Colossians 1:15-20. To remind us that Jesus Christ is above all creation, and he is truly supreme. And that is why we are talking about his supremacy today. He is supreme. I'll talk about what that means to us, and also suggest what we should do because of that supremacy. And if you want to use another, you know, word, greatness of Jesus Christ. We will also look at the reading that has been done in the Old Testament. That is Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 3, where it's also talking about the prophecy about the greatness of Jesus and what he would do. And therefore, my sermon really will be in two parts. Part one, I want to share with you on indicators of the primacy of Jesus Christ. What indicates, what tells us that Jesus is great? And in that passage that we have just read from Colossians 1:15-20, there are about seven great things that are said about Jesus to show that he is supreme. He has supremacy over every creature, every one of you and me. One, he is the image of the invisible God. This means that Jesus has revealed God to us, and we shall see that later on also. In John 1:18, he says, "No one has ever seen God," I'm quoting, "but God." No one has seen God but God. the only one. And this is actually him, Jesus, who has known him according to that, you know, verse. So we can almost conclude in that indicator that you cannot talk about seeing God ever unless you have to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way and receiving him in your life so that he will be your savior, so that you can see God. Indicator number two is that Jesus is not only equal to God, but he is God. In that verse that I've just quoted, John 1:18, Jesus is described as God, the one and the only one, God. Again, we are told that all the fullness of God dwells in him in Colossians 1:19. All the fullness of him, you know, of God is actually in him. This tells us that when we know Jesus, then we know God. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Then you know God. You know, I have had some people, you ask them, do you know Jesus as your Savior? And they tell you, yeah, I know God. You cannot know God unless you know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, personally. And you have given him your life, and you are walking with him with the hope of seeing God and knowing God and seeing him in heaven. Then Colossians, indicator number three, Colossians 3, verse 16 tells us that by him all things on earth and in heaven were created. All things, including you and I, they were created by him and for him also. This includes powers, rulers, and authorities, all visible and invisible things. This tells us that Jesus has full authority over all creation, over all rulers. Sometimes when I see rulers boasting here and there, oh, I feel sad for them. They don't know the example who is over them. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, in his supremacy, is above all, as the scripture has put it. This is what it is. Even in your own home, when you think you are ruling as a husband, as a father, remember there is the one who is ruling you, even Jesus Christ in his supremacy. And it's important that you accept the rule of Christ, because it's the rule of peace. For is that in Jesus all things hold together. I love that. This tells us that Jesus is in full control over the whole universe, over us, over you and me, and over all our circumstances, all our times, and he holds the land also, the seas, the sky, and everything in them in total control. He knows everything about his creation and his people. So, no matter what experiences you may be going or may be going through, our lives will hold together if we look to Jesus and depend on him. And I don't know who told people just because other people are also divorcing, parting and breaking marriages, I can also do it. I don't know who told the young people that before they get married and they are in friendship, they must sleep together because everybody is doing it all over. And when you look at the lives in marriages today, there's a lot of problems because preparation was bad. And why did this happen? People believe this is the world, this is the way it is. But I want to tell you, my brother and my sister, in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, things can hold. Young people can hold into holiness. People who are married can hold into marriages even when there are challenges. Because in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, all things hold. They hold. They don't go into parts. They don't break into parts. Jesus is supreme. He has a power and he can bring all your life together and help you to continue in the right way. Indicator number 5, he is the head of the church. He is the head of the church. This tells us that he has authority over the church. Are we a church? Christ is the authority. He has the authority. And therefore, even when we are in leadership, I want me to know that Jesus Christ is in authority over the church. And he's the one who should rule. If he's not allowed to rule, then there is something wrong going on in that church. May the Lord help us to allow Christ to rule in our church. And you know, if we are letting Christ rule in the church, we wouldn't be hearing the things we are hearing in the church. Campaign for leadership, even to an extent of giving money somewhere in order that you have, and I'm not talking about PCA church alone, many churches, we have something hidden behind the backs of the people. Things that are not really glorifying to God. If Christ is ruling over the church, as a ruler of the church, there is peace, there is love, and there is honesty, and there is cleanliness in doing everything, because Christ is ruling over that church. Is Christ ruling in St. Andrew's? Christ ruling in St. Andrew's? Is Christ ruling in the group where you are, as a church group? Are there some quarrels and fightings and feelings? Beloved, I want to be very honest with you. If those things are there, it means Christ is not ruling over that group, in that group of groups. And God's will is that Christ rules over the church. He is the head of the church. Let him rule. Let him reign. And there will be joy and peace. 6. Colossians 1:20 says that it is through Jesus that we are reconciled to God through his blood shed on the cross. And in John 14:6, Jesus himself actually proclaimed it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to me or to the Father except through me. Again, the Bible makes it clear that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. Also, the Bible says, he who has a son has eternal life. He who does not have a son does not have life. May the Lord help us to know that we can only be reconciled to God and have eternal life by accepting the Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet, and I say this with great humility, there are people who have come to this church, come in and gone out, others in other services, but they have not personally, never personally surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ, who is the one to lead us to eternal life, who is the one who reconciled us from our Father in heaven. Are you there? I challenge you today, please give your life to Jesus Christ. Number 7, the last one of the indicators, is now in Isaiah. Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 3 tells us that God has anointed Christ, the same Christ. God has anointed him to bring good news to the world. Oh, good news to the world. The world will need good news, isn't it? You know, the last few weeks that we have seen in Kenya and the things that are going on there, and even from last year, the discoveries that have been made here, things that are being done that are so terrible and destructive to this nation, you realize that Kenya needs good news. We need to hear good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The good news that will help us to be that, taken from the power of the evil to continue doing that which is right. And listen to what Jesus was anointed to do, great things, because he's supreme. He was anointed to bind up the brokenhearted. Do we have many people who are brokenhearted in Kenya, in this world, in the families? Many who are really brokenhearted over issues of life. Jesus was anointed to bind up the brokenhearted. Secondly, to proclaim freedom for captives and release from darkness for prisoners. Well, you may think we are talking about the prisoners in our prisons, but I'm talking about spiritual imprisonment and a life imprisonment. And I'm not talking about you being imprisoned in a prison for life. I'm talking about your life, my life. We have people in this world that are in prison. They are in prison for years. Prison of drinking. Prison, of immoralities. Prison of breaking their marriages everywhere. And things like that. Christ came to proclaim freedom for such captives. And indeed, he can do it. He did it for some of us, as we know things that we were doing before we came to know him. He was also anointed to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor. Jesus is here with good news of blessings for those who know him and love him. they have joy. But also, he was anointed to proclaim God's judgment. God's judgment. It is not good for a church to sit down and always bring good news and tell people, praise the Lord, we are all right, we are going on well. Tell people, unless they stop being immoral, unless they stop being, breakers of marriages because of selfishness, God will judge them. God will judge the people who have rejected to repent their sins. And then another one is that he was anointed to comfort those who mourn. Over a number of weeks, we have had people in this church losing their dear ones, and they are totally, even now, down. The mourning. Christ is here today. Christ is here today, anointed to comfort you in your time of mourning. Or even mourning because of loss of a job or something good. Christ is here to comfort you. And then finally, about that, number 7, he was anointed to bestow a crown of beauty, the oil of gladness, and a garment of praise to those who believe in him, isn't it? Okay? How many things are there? A crown of beauty. Have you known that people who are really serious with Jesus and they are walking with Jesus, they are there with him? Have you known that they are even smart when you see them? Smart in mind, they don't talk things. They talk smartly. I don't want to talk about clothing, but even that, I believe, when really you are together and Jesus has put you together, you are also minding yourself, isn't it? That is a beauty we are talking about. When Jesus comes into you, when he comes into me, he brings beauty that no one else will bring. And of course, the oil of gladness, happiness, because Jesus is in you and me. And let me say about those indicators. To have Christ in you is to have all God has given to us, as we have enumerated there. My last part of the sermon, very briefly, what should we do about the supremacy of Christ, or the supreme Christ? One, for those of us who have never given their lives to the supreme Christ, we should accept him so that we can be saved and delivered from the power of sin and be reconciled to our God. Because it's very clear in our indicators that you can never say you know God until you really receive his Son. And when we do this, receive his Son, this will make us have peace with God, and also peace with ourselves, peace with God, and peace with ourselves. God will never have peace with you and me if we go on continuing in sin, no matter what we say we are. Even when we say, praise the Lord, and we are born again, it doesn't matter. You need to go to God and really surrender your life to Jesus Christ so that we can have peace with God and have peace with you. Do you know when you are running away from sin, you have peace? I noticed once somebody who had stolen, and the way he was running, he was really running. That man didn't have peace. He was running and kicking everybody, you know, everywhere, because he didn't have peace within himself. And yesterday, as I was listening, I was watching it, I just heard, overheard, that, you know, somebody was knocking a woman down and almost, you know, taking some property from her, and then some people realized where what was happening, and they ran there and they chased him, and finally they killed him. Was there peace? Sin will never give peace. Even people who go to all those immoralities, ask them whether they have peace. Oh, they have no peace. So when you really give yourself to Jesus Christ totally, you have peace with God and you have peace with him. Secondly, for those who have already accepted Jesus as our Savior, we should obey him and allow him to be supreme, to rule and reign in our lives. Why are we hearing that people who are in the fellowship and their brothers and sisters, they are being unfaithful to their own spouses? Yeah. Why do we hear, you know, some of the young people in the Christian unions and the, you know, in the Christian groups, you know, they are praising the Lord. Where? The praise and worship here. When you hear that, where? It's high. But you hear also stories behind that group. For some people, they are immoral, some of them. They are disobedient to their own parents. They are even cheating in exams, and so on and so forth. If you have known Jesus and you have professed Jesus, run away from sin, and Jesus is able to help you to walk according to what God will be happy about. Finally, let me say this. All of us, we should give Christ the supreme, this Christ who is supreme, the first place in our lives and thoughts and activities. We should allow him to have preeminence in our lives as we wait for his coming to take us home. And as I conclude, let me say this. As we continue to know and understand, that's what we have been knowing and understanding, isn't it? In this sermon, the supreme of Christ. May this help us to magnify him, honor him, and totally give ourselves to him, even as we wait to meet him when he returns to take us home in heaven. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.